Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Otherwise, you can text your brother, 0457140550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. I'd like to acknowledge our traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. All ears here for your yarn. Maybe you want to talk state of origin. Yes, the Maroons got up. 16-10 defeated New South Wales. And back to the drawing board for New South Wales. But look, it ain't over. Till the fat lady sings, you know how they say. We got game two happening in Perth in 2 weeks' time. And then back in Brisbane, own turf there for Queensland, state of origin. And we'll see how we go. But look, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Associate Professor Sally Kate May, Archaeologist and Museum Studies, University of Adelaide. And we're talking Arnhem Land Art Detectives, helping discover who painted these priceless works. On the line, we have Associate Professor Sally. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based down in Adelaide?
I am, down in rainy Adelaide right now.
Rainy and cold. I'm in Cairns, far north Queensland.
I'm jealous.
Look, a beautiful title here, Arnhem Land Art Detectives. I didn't know it was art detective, but it warrants when we're talking about our beautiful artwork as First Nation people. Helping discover who painted these priceless works. So enlighten us, please, Associate Professor Sally.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, this is a project we talked about for a number of years now with the local communities up in Western Arnhem Land, because there are all these collections of paintings in museums and art galleries around Australia and around the world which don't have any names attached to them. So the collectors kind of acquired them as examples of, I guess, a cultural group, if you like, but they didn't give them the credit of actually writing down the artist's name. So we thought, you know, a starting point for this is one of the oldest collections of art paintings in Australia, which is the Baldwin Spencer Paddy Cahill collection from 1912 through to 1920. So what we're doing is we're working with artists today, community artists.
Yes.
We're digging through the archives and we're visiting the museum and we're working with people who can look at the different styles that the artists were creating, and we're trying to put it all together. So really,
and when you say find a name, Sally, are you talking about a name of the artist? So we're going back like close to 100 years, are we not?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's, you know, we always knew it was going to be a real challenge, but we are having some success. Yeah,
good.
We want to put individual names on these paintings,
So, of course, going back, well, we're talking to artists, yes, but we're talking to elders as well and TOs of the land to find that connection, yes?
Absolutely. It's, yeah, it's all in. We need as much information as we can. So, yeah, the elders have been amazing, and of course, a lot of the, most of the artists, actually, I think all of the artists are now deceased that were involved, but some of them, like Paddy Compass, for example, he lived until 1978, I think.
Yeah.
So you've certainly got a lot of people that remember these people that were painting.
Yeah.
And so we can start to put together a bit of the story of their life, too, from these oral histories and interviews.
And so as an associate professor, have you had this sort of work done before in this space to find an artist of hundreds, thousands of years ago?
Yeah, look, it's I've been working with a community in Goombalanya community for about 20 years, and over those years we've done a few different little projects, you know, like this. So, for example, we tried to, and we're still trying to record names for people that created rock art as well, so, you know, in the more recent past. So we've had some success with that as well, and that really was one of the reasons we were inspired to try this early bark painting collection, because we thought, well, if we can get names for rock painters, then, you know, maybe we've still got a chance of getting some of these early bark painting out.
Well, what I'm picking up, Sally, is a platform here for archaeologists to be, to have a new, how you say, eye into the fire or add into the repertoire in regard to studies of archaeology in the space. Is what you're doing is pretty new, is it not? You there, Sally? Hello. I didn't like that question. We'll try and get her back there. That's Associate Professor Sally Kate May. Are you there, Sally? No, we lost Sally. We'll try and get her back there. Very important conversation. Arnhem Land art detectives helping discover who painted these priceless works. And what I'm trying to pick up and ascertain is archaeologists wouldn't know this sort of work. Well, to become detectives as such, to find out who did the artwork for the, well, we're talking the First Peoples and going back thousands of years. That is a hell of a task, but it's fantastic they're working towards that and dealing closely with the traditional owners and the artists themselves. But yeah, we'll try and get Sally back, continue that yarn, but this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong here, 1-800-422-416. And with such a topic, let's go to a daily track here called Dreaming. Charlie Trindle, do enjoy. Yeah, that's Dreaming, Charlie Trindle. I think we got to Associate Professor Sally Kate May back on. You there, Sally?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Archaeologist, I just rang you back. There's my there's my vehicle I used. I was just saying, Professor Sally, the in regard to the work that you're doing, you would probably find that this is, how you say, new repertoire for archaeologists in their studies, a new platform, a new iron in the fire in regarding adding to that profession.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, you're talking about finding the artists who did work hundreds and thousands of years ago, whatever, you know. That wouldn't be in the studies of archaeology in regard to First Nation people's art, yes?
Look, it's not common, no, but there is a kind of a whole movement of people, of archaeologists in particular, looking at what's been nicknamed, I guess, contact rock art, which is rock art that depicts, you know, the interactions between newcomers to Australian shores and Aboriginal people. So that is a growing, I guess, area of interest for archaeology,
yes.
But it's also very interdisciplinary. So we get, you know, lots of different disciplines, coming in and looking at this, everything from art history to anthropology to linguistics, you know, all of it kind of comes together to explore that. Yeah.
I mean, archaeologists, you'll find artwork as such, and you'll find, well, the meaning, communicating with the TOs into the message behind the paint. But to find the actual artist, that's a whole new thing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it definitely is, yeah. And it really does bring a whole new perspective. But, you know, looking at even the more recent rock art, for example, and the more recent bark paintings, that can also give us amazing insights into much earlier art. As well, into how people were using art in the landscape, or even how they were creating it, what sort of tools and what sort of additives they were putting into the pigment. So there's all sorts of stuff that, you know, people can learn from looking at this more recent art too.
But also with not only the what material did they use, but also the story, the message behind the artwork.
Yeah, and that's been one of the most interesting things about this project, is that we can work with artists today and elders and sit down and look at these old barks, which had very little information recorded. And for a lot of them, they look at the picture and they're like, yeah, we know that story. That connects to that place or this particular clan. And so we are even having some luck pinning it down to even more specific areas where they're saying things like, well, that artist must have come from that country because that story is from there.
And when we're talking really professionals as archaeologists, we are talking about a passion, an open mind for education, but also the word that we as First Nation people push across the borderline, respect in regard to the findings, and of course ownership back to the traditional owners, and permission to take it any further once finding the information, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I said before, this has been several years in the works where it's been a ground up approach approach because the community had an interest in this, and they do. They control the data, they control any information that comes out of it, and it's a process, as you said. So going to Melbourne with the community members, there's certain things that they're dealing with in that space, and then, you know, we make a decision about what we make public, you know, what we might co-publish on, all sorts of things as well,
Because the findings could be storytelling, it could be, communicating, but it also could be sacred. And then sacred then remains with the traditional owners, if that is the case, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And what they can also do in the process is be advising the museum on what needs to change or in terms of managing these collections as well. So they can really take ownership of the management of this collection as well and make it in line with all these cultural obligations.
Well, pardon the punt, Associate Professor Sally, but I'm digging your work. I think it's fantastic, and I never heard the description of art detectors, and that's exactly what you guys are, and I think it's fantastic. And big shout-out to the traditional owners at the table as well, which is so very important. Good luck with all, and please do keep in touch. We'd love to know who painted these priceless works, yes.
Yeah, will do. Thanks very much.
You take care, Sally. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Associate Professor Sally Kate May and Archaeology and Museum Studies, University of Adelaide. And we're talking about Arnhem Land art discoveries, helping discover who painted these priceless works. So not only finding the work and the message behind the work, but what materials did they use, but also they want to find out who the artist was. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of years. So fantastic. And, of course, working closely with the traditional owners and the elders and the artists as well who live today. So very important. And very, respectful in how they do it. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Holding you my arms. A Warrumpi band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong, you mob? Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And talking about our beautiful Black Deadly Network, the Murray Radio Stations across this country, big shout out, good morning. I want to say good morning to Sherberg Radio. And we're going to catch up a yarn there with our deadly sister Kimberly Barrett, who's our broadcaster, sports journo there in Sherberg, and talk about the one and only Selwyn Cobbo after his deadly debut for the Queensland State of Origin team and taking his first win and Queensland first win for 2022 State of Origin. On the line, Sister Kimberly, good morning, sis. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, and good morning to everybody out there. Yeah, it is really awesome and really heartfelt enjoyment that, you know, Sherberg has been on a journey with our NRL superstar from Sherberg, you know, the boy from the bush.
Yes.
Has did a lot of awesome stuff, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
As mum and dad were saying to him, you know, wait for the big time, you know, and the big time has finally arrived.
Yes.
And, you know, it's really... You can't put the words into how everybody feels. Here,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah. I'm feeling a buzz just yarning with you, you know, and how deadly the brother is. And when you look at NRL, and hats off to them in regarding storytelling, how it all began for someone. And to think when he was in high school, he wrote on a piece of paper his goals and dreams, and that was to play for the Broncos, you know what I mean? And that just shows all our mob out there that, I was going to say, my sister, that all successful people have three things in common. And first, they work out what is what they want. Number two, they write it down. Three, they go out and get it. And that's exactly what Selwyn Cobbo's done, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, you know, also being the first Indigenous school captain there at the Megan State High School back in 2019, you know, for 75 years. And that's one big achievement, you know, leading the way for his next generation.
Exactly.
And also writing actually up on that blackboard, you know, when he was in year 10, you know. Dreams do come true. You've got to make sacrifices.
Exactly.
And that's what he has done.
That's what he has done. And to put it into words and then turn it into fruition, into reality. And look, being a captain of school, that's away from football, but being a captain of Sherbury High School, first time ever, is that right? You're saying?
It would be awesome if there was a deadly high school here at Sherbrooke, but our neighbouring town is Mergan.
Mergan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's where the mob go to high school after Sherbrooke, primary school.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we do have boarding school.
Boarding school, of course. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and we're northwest of Brisbane as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of many opportunities there for, you know, further your child's education.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to the nurturing of love from mum and dad, I guess, and sacrificing.
Of course, exactly. And they call him the silence assassinator because he's quiet and shy. He just got this beautiful smile with whatever happened, you know. Even if he gets ruffled up, he gets up and just smiles, you know, as if to say, look out, bruh, I'm coming again, look out, you know. And it's so powerful, sister.
<For God. laughs> a humble young man he is too, you know, inspiration and role model for the next generation from home. Here,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Coming back home to Sherbig and... You know, just seeing him on the big screen, you know, this makes you feel so proud to be from Sherbig.
He represent.
See a actual Sherbig player,
yeah.
You know, for the state of origin, you know, so
exactly.
The best ever.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Mm. And look, you know how to breed him there, my sister, so it's so deadly. And, big shout out to Selwyn himself, his beautiful family, mum and dad. So he's got brothers and sisters?
Yes, he does, but, you know, in any Indigenous community, they all brothers and sisters.
Yeah, true that, yeah. And they're claiming him anyway, you know. That's my cousin there,
that's my mob there from
Sherbig. That's right. Exactly, sister, exactly. So that was probably a stupid question, but that's how we roll, eh, my sister? We claim our mob.
Yeah, and that's how we roll, and can I also just give a big shout-out to his mum and dad, you know, James Cobbo and Kayleen Blair, you know, for the love and dedication, you know,
exactly.
And his nan and pop, you know, Uncle Trevor and Auntie Mary Blair, and also the aunties, you got Sherry Sando and Larissa Blair.
Yep.
And, you know, their partners, you know, helped that young fella,
exactly.
You know, succeed and to be where he is today. So, you know, big shout-out to all you mob, you know, tuned in.
And it just shows you it takes a community to raise a child, and the family's done that, the community's done that.
Exactly, and you know the sacrifices. You know, we need our little fellas to, you know, make it to the big time. The unity start in community with family.
Well, exactly, and you look at how down to earth Brother Selwyn is. We talk about our roots have got to be strong. So no matter where you go in life, how far you go, how deadly you are, don't ever forget where you come from. And you can see that in Selwyn, the way he holds himself, my sister.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's really awesome to hear the children around homie and shaving, you know. I'm the next Selwyn Cobber, or
exactly.
Catch Cobber, you know.
Shut
and
your mouth,
that people love to hear is the children being inspired by
yes, Kimberly.
Up.
No, so powerful. My sister, thank you very much for the yarn. Big shout out to Sherbert. Good morning. And, yep, the black version, Wally King of Rugby League and ex-deadly footballer for Queensland State of Origin, as well as for Broncos. And, look, doors will open up.
Can I also ask you, is it true that you are a version of Langer?
That's what they reckon. Yeah, there's a, and I did work with Gene Miles and they call it the Fogs, former Origin greats, and did some motivational stuff down there with those guys for 2 years. And when I first walked in the office, even Gene Miles looked at me, and then Wendell Saylor came around, and then he looked at me, and then Stephen Walters. They reckon you know who you look like. I go, no. Alfie looked like me because I'm older than him. He can call me Uncle Trev. Then Alfie came in and he looked at me. I reckon, hey, brother, I'm the black version. Yeah, my sister, that is true. But I'm better looking than Alfie Langer. You too, dearly, my sister. Thanks for the yarns. Yeah. All the best, Kimberly. Yeah. And big shout out to Sherberg Radio, Sherberg family there, and someone copy. Cobbo, he the man.
He's a man already. Magic man.
Magic man. You take care, my sister.
Yep. You too, mate. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there, Kimberly Barrett, her name is, and she's broadcaster there, Sherberg Radio, sports journal, and we're talking about that deadly man, Selwyn Cobbo, who represents his Sherberg mob there. And look, he played his debut for Queensland State of Origin after playing for Broncos the last couple of years and contracted there and had their first win on Wednesday night. And he played deadly, set up that beautiful try there for one of the veterans there in Gagai, Dan Gagai, and it's a beautiful win. So big shout out, Sherberg, and yes, your deadly magic brother there, Selwyn Cobbo. Stand by him all the way. Too deadly, mob. Have you say Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day. Monkey, 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 monkey
Topan, that's the name of that deadly track there. Warumpi Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Otherwise, you can text your brother 0457-140-550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, go across the nation, thanks to NERS. And we come to you live, First Nation radio station here in Cairns, your dingy country, BBM. Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. All right, we're going to catch up with Yarn now with New South Wales Acting Registrar, that's Ahmed Padhia, and talk about our kids count. Visit the Northern Rivers region. On the line, Ahmed, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor. Thanks for having us on the show.
Good. I welcome you to the program. Where are you based, my friend?
I am based in Sydney on Gadigal land today.
Beautiful. Let's talk about the space that you're working in. You're acting at the moment, New South Wales Registrar. Tell us the work you do and talk about Our Kids Count, Visit the Northern Rivers region.
Yeah, so the Our Kids Count is a self-funded project by the Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages.
Yes.
And the aim of the project is really to address some of the misconceptions around birth registrations, in particular for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families, and to really increase the gap that there currently is. In addition to that, the program is really supporting families in obtaining the birth certificate so that they can actually navigate through life, do those important things like enroll in school, access sports, health, etc.
Because there's a big gap there. Is that what I'm picking up?
There is a big gap there. So when we started this program in 2018, 40% of our unregistered births were of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. In the first year when we launched this campaign and this piece of work, we saw a 52% increase in birth registrations across the community, which was fantastic. And there has been a significant increase in that space. However, we have reduced from 40% of unregistered Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander births to 22%. So there's about 1,000 children that are still not being registered. And that's what the program is aiming to address.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic. I mean, what would be the cause of unregistered babies?
I think there are a number of misconceptions out there. I think one, there's a misconception that it costs money to register a baby, which it does not. It's free to do. It can be done online. It can be done at a Service New South Wales Centre. And I think another barrier might also be is around certificates. Parents may not have their own ID to purchase certificate, or financial barriers might be an issue. But again, we are here to support those individuals that need support in that space.
Would you be able to share with us the process of registering a child, please?
Yes. So the process is quite simple. You can go online on our website and select register birth, and you populate your information. And you populate child's name, date of birth, all that key information that you get from the hospital when baby's born, and you hit submit. At that point, you can purchase a certificate if you want, but the main aim is get bub registered. If you do have some financial concerns and you need support in paying for a certificate, then contact Service New South Wales. They will contact our team here, and then we will support you with that financial aid. But the key thing is register bub.
Register bub. Now, that can't be done at hospitals, can it not? When the baby is born?
Sorry,
You cannot register your baby at hospital when baby's born, is that right?
No, you could if you were doing it on your phone.
Okay, online. Yeah, okay, there it is. Okay, rightio. So the hospitals don't have any, action in regarding supporting that space. It's not their job to register the baby. It's the parents' job, is that right?
That's exactly correct. So the hospital will provide parents with all the information that they need to register the bub. They actually provide us with information on the birth. So when we have the application come in from the parent, there's a matching that takes place to say, actually, yes, Sally Jane is Sally Jane, and she was born at this hospital, and then the birth is registered.
All right, fantastic. And you're finding those numbers are coming down regarding unregistered babies, which is a good thing.
Yes, exactly. The team have done some great work, especially with this campaign in the Arana Northern Regions. Today is actually their last day. They're in Coffs Harbour at the Kulai Preschool Aboriginal Corporation until 12.
Yes.
So if anyone needs support, get out there and get the support today whilst they're there.
Yeah, beautiful. Very good information. Thank you for sharing with us. Big shout out to your team there, your family. Stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, Ahmed.
Lovely. Thanks, Trevor, for having us. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Ahmed Padia, his name is. He's acting New South Wales Registrar, and we're talking about that space. Our kids can't visit the Northern Rivers region, but across this nation, to all our mob out there, register that Piccaninny. Very important to do so, and then they have the birth certificate, so to speak. But it just helps with numbers as well, and regarding First Nation children being born, and also gives them an identity as well in regard to that birth certificate when I sign up and play football, all that sort of stuff. You know, so very important we do that. You mob. Too Deadly, have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that's a beautiful track there. Naba Noram, that's the Reef Song with Busby Maru here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call, have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
How you going, brother?
Yeah, I'm going. I've got my cars up on jacks and I've
isolated. So you're still foot falking at the moment, are you?
I'm sort of going to... Yeah, I'm on foot falcon. I was walking. I carried my groceries home. And,
yeah.
I've been down the green patch for about 18 months now, you know, doing that thing, and I've met a lot of travellers.
Yes.
And a lot of sad stories, people on the road and people suffering. But the strangest one of all the other day is tormenting me and a lot of other people that have heard about it. As a lady arrived there, an older lady, she's living in a car, hard circumstances. She's come down from the Gulf trying to get a job up in Prawns or Trawler or something. And she came to Cairns, and there's a place on the inlet in the mangroves. It's called the Packers Camp. Have you ever heard of that?
The Packers Camp? No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, it's got access to the water. It's in the mangroves, sort of on the Edmonton side, on the south side of the inlet.
Okay.
In the mangroves, and there's all boats and stuff parked there, hidden in there for safe shelter.
So when you say packers camp, you're talking about backpackers?
No, I think that's an old name for packers, where they pack up and go onto boats or something. Anyway, she was really in distress as what's happened, and it's very tormenting. It's like a horror story. Mm. She was camped there, and an old fella turned up. He was well into his 70s, and he said, "If you got nowhere to stay, I've got a boat here." And so she accepted his invitation and went to look on this boat. And she said, he took her out there in a dinghy, left her car in the car park there or something, took her out onto, and it turned out to be, she showed us it's a stern trawler. It's a big fishing vessel, a stern trawler. They have like a tug. It has a long back end on it. And she said it's totally full. And he showed her a cabin or a room on the boat. And when she got there, it was full of women's clothing.
Mm.
Lots of women's clothing. This is a really
mystery. Is she okay? Is she safe?
Well, I think she's lucky. She could be lucky to be alive, and somebody else too. This is worth a call. It's not a strictly Aboriginal thing, but it's something that's danger in the community, maybe. So the fella showed her the thing, and she said, "Oh, what's all this women's clothing?" And he said, "Oh, that's all right. Somebody was here before, but they got arrested for stealing a car off the wall. Somebody that had been staying on the boat, and she described it was supposed to be an Asian person or a Thai person or girls or something. Anyway, the fella said, "Well, you just stay here." She got a suitcase and put it on the boat, and he went ashore in his dinghy and left her on the boat. And she's there looking at all the stuff and getting bad vibes and freaking out. And so she's up on the deck for a long time waiting for him to come back. And there was another fella, a young fella, come along in a dinghy or a rubber boat, and she was shouting out, "You know, help, help, I want to get off this boat." She had a really bad feeling about it.
Mm.
It's in the inlet, and it's a stern trawler, and I hope the police will listen to this because...
Well, when you say the police will listen to this, has anyone called the police? This sounds like a dangerous position. Have you spoken to her since?
Yeah, but can I just finish the story a little bit, and I'll tell you what we tried to do.
All right, thank you. Okay.
And she said, and a young fella come along in a dinghy, and she started out for help, and eventually he was lost, and he was almost out of sight, and he saw her, and he come and he got her, and she climbed over the boat into his boat, and he took her back to the shore to her car, and she escaped to the green patch somewhere. And the fella said, "Oh, don't worry about it." Anyway, she called the police, and she said they didn't even take down notes. But my car was on its last legs, and I was grinding the front wheel, and I went down there, and I said, "Well, you should call the water police." But I don't know if we have any in Cairns.
We do.
There's something really strange going on there, and so I advise people to be aware that, you know, like... what she's worried about is she said that the girl, this is the point of the story, the girl that was, she was said was in the on the boat before, she said she was told she was arrested for stealing a car. She has the feeling that girl escaped the boat somehow and stole a car there to save her life and get away. And she heard she was in jail and may not be able to speak English. And maybe locked up for nothing and can't explain what's happened. Anyhow, this is a crazy story, and I was struggling thinking whether I should come on with this or not. But it's one of those things that's happened that I've met from going to the Green Patch, and it's the worst story I've heard of what can happen to travellers. We know that.
Sure. Well, I think this gentleman should be investigated if that's the case. Just for the police to have a yarn with him anyway, you know. If he's not doing wrong, it's okay. But if he is, then, you know, we can catch the culprit.
That's right. It's a stern trawler. That's all I know. And I saw photographs and I recognised what sort of ship it was because I've done repairs on that type of vessel before when I was boilermaking and welding.
Yeah.
And so the police weren't on yesterday, and I thought, you know, you get them on there on Thursday with the box of fruit thing, and they weren't on, and I was going to follow them on, but I was busy with my car, and but I think it's worth a call because it's just something that I found out.
Well, I think when you, if you're in Gordonville area near the police station, I reckon just pop in and make the statement, to make the inquiry.
The old lady told me that she's already called the police and they didn't even take notes and didn't seem interested.
Is that right?
That's right.
That's wrong, then, if that's the case.
That's why I'm on the phone now, because someone here, and it's a stern trawler, and it's accessible from what's known as the Packers Camp, which I think is at the back of Edmonton somewhere, near Red Bank or somewhere that way.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully they're listening, look, next time I talk to Edmonton Police here, I'll pop the question with them as well.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it was Gordonville or Edmonton Police she spoke to. I think it might have been the Gordonville Police. We don't know if there are water police, and I couldn't find any in the phone book. So it could be a serious thing, and you never know if I'm helping or not. Yeah, but it's just a real mystery, and no one likes mysteries like that in the community.
Exactly. Well, the fact that she came off the boat anyway, so she is safe, she's still with us. But the next girl may not be as lucky, you know, if we don't tackle this or, you know, question this gentleman. There it is.
Yeah, you can't ignore those things because then afterwards I should have done something, you know.
Well, we're talking prevention, eh? We don't want the crime to happen.
Prevention is better than the cure, mate. So
beautiful.
I was going to give it a rest, but it would torment me if I didn't do something. You have to do something sometimes.
Exactly. Well, thank you for your call, my friend. Please do keep in touch. You take care.
Thanks, Trevor.
See you, Tony. Bye-bye. Tony Gibbs, very disheartening story there, very sad, very frustrating in regards to if police are not doing anything there. But, she's one of the lucky ones, she's safe. But then again, why go on a strange boat when there's nowhere to get out? So it's all about life as choices, isn't it? Have you say Yarn Up Strong, out of the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
In my kitchen, start off in my kitchen, titters there. We're going to go to Marshall calling in from Brisbane, I believe. Marshall, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Good, good, good. You still in Brisbane?
Yes, mate, yes. If I can first start with a shout-out to all the people in Cairns that I know up there and know me, and the people in Lockhart River, I'm going to start with that.
Good,
and good morning to you all and or your other listeners.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. What you want to yarn about, Marshall? You there? Marshall?
You there, Trevor?
Yeah, can you hear me? No, I lost you. Marshall. Marshall, you there? Marshall?
You there, Trevor?
Call me back, brother. Call me back. Marshall, if you're listening, call me back. I lost you there, mate. I could hear you. You couldn't hear me. And we'll continue the yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Live in First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Try and get Marshall back, but I think we've got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother, I want to make a show this the difference between domestic violence, brother, and I want to let listeners know that I'm both a perpetrator and a victim. Twice I've been a victim of women. But anyway, brother, there is a difference. You know, people say, oh, look, you know, they should not don't discriminate domestic violence and all this kind of paper, like black and white. But there is a difference, brother. Do you know that bloke, Andre, from he went to Bunnings store here, brother, and he bought that gas. He bought the story after that, and he put his Mrs. body in there after. And Erica Reed, the 21-year-old from Colwyn, picked up that sort of idea, and my little granny up. I get upset by that.
Yeah.
My little granny up there. What's the place up there? Up near Erica and there. I forgot the place. And Mr. Ratton found her body. Alison Baden Clay, brother.
Yes.
The difference is, it's premeditated. They take a while for a little black horse.
Yeah.
They beat them straight away, and it's because they're alcohol related, brother. And they find them straight away, you know.
So you was a culprit?
There was a documentary in 1989, Alvin Peters, called State of Shock, David Bradbury, and it showed there too that brother there, it thought it got caught, you know, black magic. And I know from being in rehabilitation, I know about the blackout and loss of memory. You don't remember. But, yeah, brother, the difference, and there is a difference too. You know that Rose Maddie, she's a socialite, and the policewoman that was on the front cover, the cop's wife, was bashing from her police. How different it is. I said this before, and I'll say it again. I criticised Noel Pearson with the AMP, brother, and he showed he was a correlation with alcohol and violence. And don't listen to me. Hey, brother, you know that you just got to go to the cop shop, to Lotus Glen, to Legal Aid here, Flying Doctor, and they showed there's a reduction in crime from the Aboriginal community up in the Cape here, and it showed there's a correlation with alcohol and violence. But I'll say it again, brother, there's a lot of difference because the white fellow's violence is premeditated, planned out, brother, and, you know, ours is alcohol-related. It's on the spirit of the moment. And women do it too, brother. They get desensitized too from alcohol, brother. I just like, I told them about that killing over the knee of the Worm Kindergarten there, brother. A lady stabbed a bloke. And I could tell you a lot of things about what women does too, brother. But it doesn't want to play down the role of men. Yeah, brother. But, you know, a lot of things happen to blokes. I was choked down from monkey blood when that thing happened to me, brother. Yeah, thank you, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's someone there, yeah. And two sides of the fence in regard to his conversation. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? I was hoping that Marshall would call back in regard to his conversation, but missed him there. But it's come to the time where Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry got a sign up for the program today. And look, you mobbed, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And look after yourself, have a great weekend. And look after your loved ones. That's what it's all about, you mob, too deadly.
Got no money in my pocket. I don't drive some fancy car. I don't have much to offer. Just me and my old guitar. There's no big house, no nest egg. All our things are second hand. But she tells me she loves me for doing the best I can. We don't need out, we eat in. We wash up and watch TV. I don't spoil her. That's cute. There's a